Continuing on this topic of wholesome and unwholesome, and it's such a central orientation in the teachings of the Buddha, so much so that one of the short, pithy sayings from the early tradition to kind of encapsulate the teachings of the Buddha goes like this. Avoid doing what's harmful. Cultivate what is wholesome. Purify the mind. This is the teachings of the Buddha. And it could all be this, they were for harming. It's translated many ways in English. It could be wicked. Sometimes it's translated as evil. But it has to do with causing harm in the world. And it could be just said to be abandon what is unwholesome. Don't do what's unwholesome. Cultivate the wholesome and purify the mind. This is the teachings of the Buddha. So this idea that at the heart of the Buddhist practice is this distinction and dichotomy, some people will say duality, between two different directions to go. And to make it pragmatic, which it is, we could say what works and what doesn't work. And if something works, even if it partially works in the right direction, great. Let's do it. And if it doesn't work in the direction we want to go, then don't do it. And to be able to distinguish between what works and what doesn't work, what's helpful and what's not helpful, is at the center of this, you know, what mindfulness is about. Mindfulness is meant to place us in the center of our experience so that we can make these pragmatic choices in this direction. To illustrate a little bit more how important this is in the Buddha's teachings, I'm going to paraphrase now, so my examples are not going to be quite as it's said in the text, but that it's the Buddha, someone said, would come to the Buddha and say, do you teach that we should avoid all pleasure? And the Buddha would answer, no, I teach that we should avoid pleasure which is unwholesome, but we should cultivate pleasure which is wholesome. Do you say that we should always speak the truth? No, I say that we should speak the truth when it's wholesome and beneficial to do so, not when it's unwholesome and harmful to do so. Do you say that we should always be X, Y, believe in this or that? Is it always one way? And the Buddha keeps coming back and says, no. If it's wholesome, we do it. If it's not wholesome, we don't do it. So this essentializing and absolutizing of behavior, beliefs, ideas, seems to be something the Buddha was very reluctant to do. In fact, there's a whole discourse in the Middle Length Discourses where the whole discourse is based on the idea what should be cultivated and what should not be cultivated. And they go through all these different categories of what should be cultivated through actions, through speech, through mind, and different categories. And the answer always is we cultivate what is wholesome, we abandon what is unwholesome. And in discussing the wholesome, the Buddha says that these are qualities that lead to a sense of abundance. They grow, we thrive. There's a thriving with them. We want to take the wholesome and make them abundant and thriving and increase and them to grow. Very kind of dramatic language, emphasizing the value and importance of what is wholesome. Now, I think in my early years of Buddhist practice, especially when I was doing Zen practice, this kind of message was, I think, not something that I understood or picked up from the teachings that I heard and was engaged in. In fact, I kind of got the opposite, not quite the opposite, but more like any attempt to try to cultivate intentionally or orient towards what's wholesome was somehow missing the boat. That what we should do is just sit in emptiness, sit in as if we are Buddha, without trying to do anything or make something happen. And I kind of sat that way in Zen, and it was very beneficial for me. There's a whole Zen dharmology or approach to life that where that's coherent, and if you understand it, it works really well. But I also felt that as time went along, that it was also limiting if that was all I did. But rather, sit, meditate that way when it's wholesome, but not when it's unwholesome. And so in this making this distinction between wholesome and unwholesome, we become our own teacher. And it isn't that we're supposed to go into the books, to the manual, and what should I do and what should I not do. But we're using our own inner antenna, our own psychosomatic apparatus for sensing and feeling and knowing, our own wisdom, to recognize the impact that our behavior has, behavior in body, speech, and mind. And if it is healthy, wholesome, if it brings a sense of goodness, if it brings joy and happiness, well-being, then yes, do it. Develop that. You're allowed to develop that. If it does the opposite, abandon it, avoid it. Now, another criticism that I would have had in my early years for this is it lends itself to selfishness. It lends itself to kind of pursuit of hedonic, just pleasure and hedonism, kind of. I think that it doesn't. When what we're doing is practicing real mindfulness, real careful attention, really sensing and feeling what's happening in here, and what we'll feel, what we'll recognize, that if it's selfish, if it's hedonistic, that itself is unwholesome, unhealthy. And we can feel that. We can feel the impact it has, that it actually debilitates, deflates and undermines us. It's not such a good thing to do. And so part of what this practice is about is starting to become a connoisseur of the impact of our behavior. Not whether it's good or bad in some abstract way, not that it's right or wrong in some abstract way, but what we know from the inside out, what we learn to recognize directly, in almost like we feel the wholesomeness and the unwholesomeness. We feel the ouch, and we feel the ah, that's going in a good way. And the importance of doing that for oneself, being one's own teacher this way, is that there is no divine authority in Buddhism that's judging us. There is no external source for what is right and wrong. It's all mediated here. This, in our own psychophysical being, can we really find the wisdom, the deep understanding for exactly how this works. And in this way, early Buddhism has a tremendous trust in the human being's capacity, provided they have a heightened mindfulness, heightened sensitivity, maybe even a heightened ability to be still and peaceful, so we can really tune in to what happens. So when you do that, you start feeling like when we have hostility, that we're hurting ourselves. When we're greedy, we're hurting ourselves. When we're caught in delusion, there's that very tightness and contraction and being lost in delusion. Feels also like something's being lost here. And the obscuring going on, or confusion. And to feel that, oh, look at that, there it is. And sometimes the early warning sign that we're going in the wrong direction does not come from our abstract ideas, but rather from our body and the felt sense, the movement of what's, oh, that's now it's, it looks like what's happened just now, I feel diminished, contracted, I feel drained a little bit. I feel like there's a tension building up. And so then we look more closely, is this wholesome or unwholesome, healthy or unhealthy? In terms of the unwholesome, the Buddha described the unwholesome as something which harms the very thing that is producing the unwholesome. So, and the analogy he used was that of some kind of reed, some kind of plant in ancient India, or in India, that when the fruit ripens, it takes all the nutrients from the plant, the rest of the plant, and the plant dies. And so the unwholesome is like that, that it takes the energy from the person in some kind of a way of being, and something gets diminished. Something even at times can even die if the unwholesome thing we do is really dramatic. Like we really harm someone in terrible ways. And so in this way, there's a possibility to not get caught up in old ideas that we've inherited from our society, our religions and all that, about that we're good or that we're bad, that we're right or we're wrong. Rather, we just kind of lovingly, caringly evaluate, look, consider, is this wholesome or is it unwholesome? Is it helpful or not helpful? Does it lead to growth of wholesomeness or diminishment of our wholesome qualities? And what we're looking for in the path to liberation is a growth in our wholesome qualities. And we'll talk more about those over these next couple of weeks. And the diminishment of the unwholesome ones. And because on the path to liberation, the unwholesome qualities agitate the mind, obscure the mind and heart. It makes it very hard to be on the path of liberation. The cultivation of the wholesome qualities, looking for what's more and more wholesome, leads to a deep sense of well-being and subtleness and peace that allows us to move into freedom, into liberation, freedom from all unwholesomeness. So tomorrow I'll talk a little bit more specifically about the unwholesome, because in a sense we're supposed to become a connoisseur of the unwholesome, so we can recognize it and not be caught by it. And so, in the meantime, please study yourself and see what you know, what you recognize, how you recognize this distinction between healthy and unhealthy, wholesome and unwholesome, and what it means for you right now. And maybe over these next days, you will maybe come to a more refined understanding of what these concepts are. So, thank you.